Parshat Shmini is that momentous occasion when Aaron HaKohen begins his service after the 7 days of Miluim of the preparation. And Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the service. Vayhi b'yom haShmini, it's now the eighth day. When it comes time for Aaron HaKohen to begin the service, we find something very fascinating in the Chumash, and it's this language that we're going to discuss today, and Rashi's interpretation. So, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Zion, Moshe said to Aaron, come near to the altar, krav el ha-mizbeach, and perform the service of your sin offering and your elevation offering, and provide atonement for yourself and for the people. Then perform the service of the people's offering and provide atonement for them as Hashem had commanded. So, here Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron to perform the service. Pasuchet, Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the sin offering, calf that was his, etc. On this pasuk of Krav El HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach, the question Mefarshim ask is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to almost convince? Moshe Rabbeinu had to convince Aaron to come close to the altar. Why didn't he just say, you know, do the work? What's this idea of coming close to the altar? So, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Lama tabosh, why are you ashamed? L'kach nivcharta, this is for this reason that you have been chosen. So we need to understand what this Rashi is all about. Aaron HaKohen was embarrassed. He was had this busha. What was this busha from? What does it mean, kilakach nivcharita? This is why you were chosen. Why wasn't it say, kilakach nivstavita? This is what you've been commanded. What's this language of lama tabosh? Why are you embarrassed? And why, what is, why are you ashamed? And what's the response? Why have you been chosen? Again, this is brought in source number 3. Shaya Aaron HaKohen Bosh V'Yareh LaGeshet. There was a certain reticence on the part of Aaron HaKohen. He wasn't so quick to do the Savoda. Amar Lo Moshe Lama Tabosh L'Kach Nivcharta. So we have to understand what is this Bush all about? What is this Livcharta all about? So the response and the approach of the Ramban, which is found in source 4, the English in 5, that Aaron suddenly saw the altar in the shape of an ox, and he shrunk back. As the Ramban explains, the shape of the ox reminded Aaron of the sin of the golden calf in which he had played an unwilling role. In his great righteousness, Aaron did not consider himself worthy of approaching the altar. How can I come near to the altar, he said. I too participated in the sin of the golden calf. My brother, what are you afraid of? Moshe told him. You of all people don't have to fear what the ox represents. Draw near to the altar. To try to get a bit of an understanding of the dialogue that's going on here, Rav Reis and Mirosh Therim explains to us the following. And this is source 7. Aaron HaKohen had no other sin in his 84 years that he was embarrassed about, that he was afraid of. This sin took up his entire being. When he saw the Karnot HaMizbeach, he saw the top of the Mizbeach, it reminded him of the Keren of the ox, the horn of the ox. And he says, oh my gosh, how can I do this Avoda? I was involved in the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Who am I to get forgiveness for the people? I still am holding within me this busha, this shame of having been involved in this sin. I am in no place ready to gain atonement for the people. And we know, as source 8 continues, Habusha yechare yikarim haroshim otam ol ner Rabbeinu Yonah besifro shari tshuva. Mitalich ha-tshuva, we know Rabbeinu Yonah says that part of the tshuva process is busha. Part of feeling doing the tshuva process is feeling this remorse, of feeling this busha. Oh my gosh, how could I have done such a thing? And dargai lai zusha busha pnimit hud gashab tzura mirabit eitz laron kadosh Hashem. This feeling of busha was overwhelming in Aaron HaKohen. So here Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, okay, now your time to serve. Aaron HaKohen takes a look, this is me back, and he, you know, he moves backwards. He says, no, I can't. The reminder of the sin, of the state of being that he was in, was so overwhelming that he was unable to move forward to do the Avodas Hashem. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell him, no, you have to overcome your regishot habusha shelo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already forgiven you. And now the higher level than busha is hitbadlut, is being able to be mevatel yourself, is being able to submit yourself to the will Hashem. And this is why you were chosen, move forward and perform the service. With this we understand this will be the first of the three levels of what perhaps Rashi is referring to is based on this Medrash. Lama tabosh, why are you embarrassed? What was Moshe Rabbeinu referring to when he saw this embarrassment on Aaron HaKohen? First interpretation of the Ramban based on the Medrash, he was embarrassed because it reminded him of the sin of Chet HaEgel, and Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, you have to overcome this, Hashem has forgiven you. Indeed, we need to ask ourselves on this level a very basic question. This is the question that Eilat Dvarim Rav Schlesinger asked. He says, Ech be'emet soveid misaveid kol ha'sibot ha'bereit barash shmo shechet ha'egel yaseh dafka edei shitufo shel Aaron Kohen Gadol. There's a much more basic question we have to ask here, and obviously it's a much more fundamental question that we can deal with. But on a very simple level, or on a very basic level, we have to ask ourselves, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Aaron HaKohen implicated in this sin? Like, what's going on here that Aaron HaKohen, who was such a pure person, that he should get involved in the sin of Chet HaEgel? We know. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Lo yuneh l'tzadik kol aved, v'shomer mitzvah lo yedei devara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a, doesn't allow a tzadik to stumble in any avera. How is this possible? So he gives a very interesting answer based on the Baal Shem Tov, B'derech Remes. And we know, if you're not obligated in something, you can't be motzi, you can't fulfill other people's obligations. You need to be obligated as well as them in order to fulfill one's obligation. And he says, derech remez, the job of a tzaddik in this world is to bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a tzaddik is so high and elevated that it's hard for him to bring the people to a higher level when he himself is on such a high level. So therefore, on some level, obviously, on a level we don't understand, Aaron HaKohen had in some way had to be involved in the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, when he is getting forgiveness for the sins of the people in Chet HaEgel, he is getting forgiveness for himself as well. In the dot in 10, he was embarrassed because he caused Chet HaEgel. And that's why Moshe says, Lama tabosh, alo adarava. Exact opposite. Dafka biglau shi tafka b'Chet HaEgel. It's specifically because you were involved in the Chet HaEgel. It was from Shemayim that you should be mechuya b'davar. L'kach nivcharti liyo kohen gadol. Why were you involved in Chet HaEgel? In order for this, this is why you were chosen. Because you were involved in the Chet HaEgel, now you can gain forgiveness for the people. So instead of being, you know, afraid and stepping back and saying, who am I? The answer is, it's exactly who you are. You are the best person. You are the best candidate to move forward to try to gain forgiveness for the people, because you understand where the people are at. You too want to gain forgiveness, and therefore you, through your forgiveness, will be able to elevate and be able to return the people back to this level as well. And that's why, parenthetically, the Eilat Dvarim, source 11, continues that this is the fundamental difference between Aaron HaKohen and his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, who bring an Eish Zara, who bring a foreign sacrifice and are immediately killed. And he explains that Aaron Cohen is acting from the people. He is with the people. He is connected to the people. Not even a few. The pasuk says, "Vayikhu ish machdato." Hey, latzvam. They each take their own frying pan. They're acting from the individual. They're acting from a different level completely. And the way to really serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu is to do it among the people, to be part of the people, and not to separate yourselves from the people. And indeed, Aaron HaKohen in this regard sets up a model for the people. Aaron HaKohen's, you know, shirking backwards is exactly what the people need to see as a reminder to them on how they should view their involvement in the sin of Chet HaEgel, as well as a greater limud, how they should look at sins in general. And this is what Rabbi Beifus brings down from Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasman, the Chevra Rosh Yeshiva in Ur Yahel. He says, you understand, Aaron Kadosh Hashem, who has this yira to come close to the Mizbeach, and he is sharui b'pachad u'bizayon, and he's like this frozen in this type of fear. He says, if this is true of Aaron HaKohen, what can we say about ourselves? Ma yomar adam shavar avera mamash. If Aaron was on some level, who even knows how, involved in the Chet HaEgel, what can we say about ourselves who do averos b'meizi? How much more so we should be walking around with this fear and this embarrassment. He says, Hare kiritato shel Aaron l'geshel mizbeach, kach haya ra'ui l'chol chotev yigishtol yitpalel al chayav. Aaron HaKohen sets up for us a paradigm. If this is his fear coming close to Hashem, and he really wasn't so involved, and whatever level of sin it is, it's like a level that's dak min hadak. And if he's afraid, can you imagine the mindset we need to have every time we daven, which is in place of the korbanos, of the sacrifices, how we should, you know, before davening, be with a certain trepidation. Who am I to turn to Hashem? Will Hashem forgive me for all the sins that I have? And he says, therefore, Ketzad yuchal adam nitkarev al midato shel Aaron, b'shivitz Hashem l'neiti tami. How can we model after Aaron's mindset by placing Hashem in front of us at all times? That if we realize that Hashem is watching every one of our actions, and He knows everything that we're doing and thinking, and we recognize Kashir Nakir v'Navim, Avrum Anotohit Barach, in the squiggly in 12, and we recognize the greatness of Hashem, Nakir Gam Lakarat Shifluto Atzmenu, and then we can recognize how small we are, and the path to then, V'chatati Negdi Tamid, my sin is in front of me at all times, is not so long. A person just has to open their eyes and be ready to face the reality of where we are at. And the model that he gives in 13 is the model of, he says, our entire lives are like one long tightrope. And we know that anyone who walks across this type of rope, right, that's, you know, suspended in air, one false move, one, you know, lack of concentration can mean the difference of life and death. That's the model. This is a very intense model, how we should view life. That on the one hand, we should have Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, I place Hashem in front of me at all times. On the other hand, I should have V'chatati L'Negdi Tamid, my sin I place in front of me at all times. And that way, we will going to be able to walk through life without this Hesach HaDat, without losing focus on why we are here. Rav Yaakov Hillel, in quoting the Mesilas Yesharim on Zehira, says exactly this in 14. The concept of watchfulness, says Mesilas Yesharim, is that man must be careful in his deeds and his dealings. In other words, he should contemplate his deeds and his ways to see if they are good or not. And in this, Rav Yaakov Hillel adds, we must be extremely cautious at all times and take our actions seriously. How are we to achieve this, continues Rav Hillel, consider the behavior of a person carrying a priceless crystal ball, well aware that dropping it would mean destruction of a small fortune. He exercises maximum caution and avoids unnecessary risks. Contrast his behavior with that of a person holding a worthless trinket. The latter will hardly take his burden as seriously as the former. By the same token, we stroll down a quiet street, we feel like little need for special precautions. When we navigate a tightrope where false wound means injury, mutilation, or death, the caution level skyrockets. Watchfulness means relating to this world as we're walking a tightrope. Continuing with Seals of Sharim, he should not abandon his soul to dangers of destruction, God forbid, and not walk the paths of habit like blind men in the darkness. Behold, this is something which his intellect certainly demands of him. And on this, Rav Hillel knows we must think about we are doing and maintain control of our actions. We need to understand exactly what it is we are doing and how it should be done. In this life, there's no place for instinctive or impulsive movement. When we run, we must know why we are running. Man is not an animal. Action must be controlled rather than spontaneous. They must be carefully checked and double-checked. Are they good? Are they bad? Where are they leading us? And this is the sense that when I have this awareness of what I'm doing and why I'm doing this, so then I have this awareness the Rama speaks about at the beginning of the Arachayim, that I am sitting in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at all times. And just like my actions are different when I'm in front of a king than in the privacy of my home, I have to realize that Hashem is watching me at all times. And therefore he concludes the Rama Miyad Yagi Elav HaYirah 15 at the dot, V'achna Mipach Hashem Yiparach Hu Bo Shtom Imenu Tamid. And this will lead to a certain awe and embarrassment and busha in front of Hashem's presence. That I don't take life, you know, randomly. Oh, why did you do this? I don't know. I just felt like it. No. I had a reason for doing this. And I understand that my actions have implications. And when I say have implications, and not like, oh, I said something. Well, what did you mean? I wasn't meaning anything. I just said it. And that's how so many people go through life, you know, like totally haphazard, totally random. Oh, I said that? Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, I did that? Oh, it's, you know, like we're like oblivion half the time. Life has to be led, and this is what Aaron Cohen is teaching us, with that sense of self, with that sense of awareness. And that sense of awareness leads us to a sense of shame, so that when I do something wrong, I know I did it. I take responsibility. I feel bad for saying this. I feel bad for doing this. I did it. I take responsibility for what I've done. And that busha, that shame is a healthy shame, because it's a shame that allows me to take responsibility for my action. It's a shame that allows me to understand that there are consequences to my actions and I own up to them. And that's the model that Aaron HaKohen is teaching us. And this is the model of shame, which is a healthy type of shame, that we have to walk around feeling like, wow, I feel terrible for doing this. I really feel bad for saying this. That is an important part of the psyche of who we are. But my friends, everything has a rutzov, a shov, a back and forth. Everything has a yin-yang in life. And we would be remiss in just leaving it here, that we have to walk around the chatati negdi tamid, that my sin is in front of me at all times, that I'm walking around with this shame, like, you know, this cloud over my head, like Aaron HaKohen. Yes, there is definitely a part of my life that has to have this, but there's another aspect that has to be balanced with this. And this is an essay in Sefer HaOros from Epstein in Chatati Negdi Tamid, where he says in 18 in the arrow, V'alzeh ba'ab bi'ur harambanzal shechet aron yatsa adarabah mirov kedushato v'tarato. Ve'im bochet elozeh. This was the only sin on whatever level b'merchot sin is. And therefore it was in his mindset at all times. And therefore we need to have, as we've noted, this type of awareness of our sins. And he says, V'al metziyosi la'afech, we find exact opposite. Hakal she'eno yarei shamayim v'shomer Torah mitzvot, mitjarei pachot v'dafka tzadik, hachatzit shekol ma'asav mukhuvanim l'shem yitbarach, ulechvodo hu chal v'nifchad al kol rega shalama v'kula neged b'ri yitbarach. Since it should be that the simple person, anytime he does something wrong, should be filled with embarrassment and shame, and a tzaddik who does something so little, he should say, you know, it's something so little in the spectrum of things, it doesn't matter. But we find the exact opposite. Regular people do things wrong all the time, and they don't think twice. And a tzaddik may do one thing that's a little bit off, and he's in this world of a chatzati negdi tamid. And this is something that we have to understand, that if a person is does something wrong. And it could be something small. He misses an Amenyei Shvei Rabbi. He comes late to shul. He's over on a small Aveira. He doesn't really feel it. He says, the bigger problem here is Chaser L'cha Yirat Shemayim Karaoi. It's not just that you've been over a small Aveira you didn't do, or you had the opportunity to do, or you did something wrong. No, there's a much bigger problem here. Where's your Yirat Shemayim? Why don't you care? Like, why doesn't it bother you? And this is what we really have to learn from Aaron HaKohen, that when we do something wrong, it should bother us. When we do something wrong, we should feel bad for it. We do something wrong, we should be involved in tshuva, and part of tshuva is this charata. Umi 19 shechayim v'madregat shivite Hashem l'negdi tamim v'chol ma'asav heim v'hergeshter yarei v'chared ma'ot shem ha'italein regav v'nichshal b'shogei. And such a person is going to live with this awareness, oh my gosh, I have to be aware at every moment. However, and here's the however. The however is, Omnam the arrow 19, B'yachad im zeh, tzarich ladad, godo chasadav yitbarach. But you also have to know the great kindness of Hashem. Ad shafilu achote hayoter gadol v'garua, even the greatest sinner, and even if you fall the greatest fall, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsiy atzmo l'nivra l'kablo im yashuv v'ohev oto u'mekarvo kilo lo chata. But when you do tshuva, Hashem takes you in and He embraces you, and it's as if you haven't sinned. And therefore in 20, that's why Sukkot is after Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is about Mechila, and Sukkot is about Hashras, Hashchina, the Divine Presence coming down. Ulefiv zeh ein makom lipol in 20, ba'atzvus v'daika. That's why you can't go into depression. Umikol tshekein chas v'sholom b'yeyush v'afsakat ha'avoda, that you can't just go into despair. Yes, there has to be. The one who believes in Shivisa Hashem Negdi Tami, and therefore V'chatati Negdi Tami, and I know Hashem is in front of me and my sin is in front of me, Muchrach Latzeda Charkach Od Pam in Shiviti L'Negdi B'Simcha Yoter Gdola V'Ava Yoter Chazaka B'Levu B'Maisa. This feeling of Hashem is in front of me, and yes, my sin is in front of me, has to lead me to a tshuva of tremendous simcha. That I feel Hashem's presence, that I feel Hashem's love, that I feel that now that I have wrong, done something wrong, and I've gone through the tshuva process, right? A makom shevali tshuva, omting tzadikim gemurim can't stand. I know I'm standing on a place of great exaltedness. I'm standing in a place of great height. And this is the imperative that we need to see. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Aaron HaKohen. He's telling him, V'lachein amar Moshe l'Aaron, V'zu hora'ah avur kulanu, Hagastatcha v'karav al mizbech v'chaper. You can't stay in the frozen state of sin. You have to be able to move forward and be able to recognize that Hashem forgives, and that forgiveness brings you to a level of closeness. And that has to be our mindset as well. Yes, we have to realize what we've done wrong, and yes, we have to feel bad. But as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, but when a person is about tshuva, yesterday he was unanswered. Today he is so close. He's so beloved to Hashem. There's a beautiful insight in Rav Meisel's Sefer Ma She'latech V'Yinatein Lach that goes through some of the things that we think about during Kriyas HaMegillah. Good to keep in mind for the following year, when about Mordechai, Madua Tauver Mitzvah Samelach. Why are you going over the command of the king not to bow down? So he says, Al Derech Avoda, the Yetzer Hara wants to break the Ruach HaAdam 21b and put him into a level of sadness and being far away from Hashem. By saying, Madua Tauver Mitzvah Melech, Umaskiro Tamir Avonotav, that the Yetzer Hara tries to have us remember our sins, in particular when we daven and when we learn. But Mordechai Tzaddik didn't listen, v'lo shama lehem. But rather, he was able to maintain his simcha b'avodat Hashem. Because when we're involved in our avodat Hashem, it's not the time to think of our avos, but it's the time to think about Hashem's great love for us. And that we are she'anu banav ahuvav, that we are his beloved children. V'lo sameh b'chol ma she'anu osim lo, and he's happy with everything we do for him. B'chol matzav v'chol ofen she'yeh, whatever situation it's in. And that's why the end of the pasuk is, ki yigid lahem asher hu yehudi, because he told them that he was a Yehudi. Anu Yehudim ahuvim lamakom, we are beloved to Hashem. And therefore, whatever we do, we know that Hashem will love us, will take us in, and will forgive us. So my friends, this is the first level of understanding Rashi of the three Amirat Hashem we're going to look at today. Lama tabosh ki lekach nivcharta. Level one, based on the Toras Kohanim and the Ramban. What was the busha from? What was the embarrassment from? He looked at the Mizbeach, reminded him of the Egel. The sin was in front of him at all times. He says, oh, I can't get near there. No, ki lekach nivcharta. You were chosen for this. You had to be involved in the sin because you have the ability to gain atonement for yourself and the people. And you become a model for the people. Ki lekach nivcharta. And what it means to feel the sin at all times. What it means to have an awareness of standing in front of Hashem at all times. And that busha, that embarrassment that leads to, that Hashem knows all of our actions. He knows all of our thoughts. How can we stand in front of Him doing the things that we've done? And this has to be our mindset. We have to emulate Aaron HaKohen. We have to have some sense of responsibility of our action and some busha, embarrassment. How could I have said that? How could I have done that? I feel terrible. But with that realization and with that awareness comes that tshuva. And with that tshuva comes ki lekach nivcharta. This is why you're chosen. Krav el mizbeach, come close, because you can't stay in that state. There's time and place for remembering sin, and there's time and place to remember and feel Hashem's love for us. And when we have that feeling of Hashem's love for us, then we can't allow ourselves to get into yeyush, into depression and despair of how terrible I am. I have to focus on how beloved I am. And that enables me to draw me closer to Hashem and lift me up. The second understanding of this busha, of this reticent and this embarrassment, is brought in the second explanation of the Ramban. Mevi'a Ramban mi divrei chazal hesber nosaf, that Rav Reis quotes the Rosh Sirim in the asterisks in 23. Lufi hesber zeh bushash haita laron balto maimad, haita regesh busha tivi shel adam hamitzaneya mishum shetavur, sheino ra'oi litater b'sfara nechmada koka. This is a natural embarrassment, right? Because Rashi doesn't say what the embarrassment was. This is a natural embarrassment of someone who feels they're not worthy to take a position. And this embarrassment is based on the anivus, on the humility that Aaron HaKohen had. Me? You want me to serve as a Kohen Gadol? Lo yichzik tova lev shmo. You know, many other people would say, oh, you know, chosen, great, I'm signing on the dotted line. That's not Aaron's approach. You sure? You know, there are people who are much worthier than me and greater than me. It's this feeling of anivus that drew him back. Busha, in a very positive sense of, not embarrassment, the negative sense of the world, but this humility that he felt. And in fact, there's a very beautiful piece that Shemesh Shmuel brings in the dot in 23. On the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, we read as the Haftarah for Rosh Hashanah, Mirachok Hashem Nirali, from afar Hashem appeared to me. So explains the Shemesh Shmuel, the Hainu Shemisha Chasha Tmo Kalmoiv Mirachok, one who feels himself standing from afar, Achein Hashem Nirala, that's someone to whom Hashem appears. And this is the Midah of Aaron HaKohen. This is the contrast, the Nadav and Avihu, who were great, but on some very subliminal level, they knew about this greatness, they acted from this greatness. Tunat Elu Shayu Ateret Tifer La'aron Kodesh Hashem in 25, this great crown of Aaron, this feeling of his busha, his knowing his place, has to be every single person. In fact, it's halach in the Shulchan Aruch that if somebody is asked to be the chazan, he should refuse one or two times and then go to daven. You shouldn't run. Midat derech eretz mechayevet shelo lomaher lekabel minui. Don't run to do it. Oh, me? Yeah, sure. But right here, I'm... No. Elim kein medubar makom shein ish acher mesugal malal tatafkid. Obviously, if there's no one else, so you have to be a little bit more quick to do it. Otherwise, find someone else. No. That's our half. That's how we have to do. And this is the midas anivos that tidnaheg, says Rabban in Yegerut HaRamban, Tamila Leber called Varecha Benachat L'chol Adam V'cholei. The sanivus, this humility, demands that a person should speak softly, nicely to every person at every hour. And when you act in this way of anivus, L'itvoshesh B'kol Adam, L'itbachem Meno Minacheg, As Tishra Lecha Ruach Hashchina, this type of anivus brings in distance from sin, and brings Hashras Hashchina. Like, try to imagine, you know, yelling at your kids in a soft voice, oh, that really wasn't so nice what you just did, you know, beating up your sister with a baseball bat, you know, whatever. Okay, maybe that's a little bit too dramatic. But it's hard to feel gaiva, and it's hard to feel kas when you're speaking softly at all times. You can be firm, but there is this sense of soft. If people listen, ma nerach yeshiv chema, the soft response appeases anger. This is the greatness of Aaron HaKohen. This is the greatness of being able to know one's place. Rabbi Pliskin in Grow Through Torah quotes from Yitzhak of Volozhin, Aaron, whose humility felt he's unworthy to be the high priest, 24 of the Jewish people. This is exactly what makes you worthy of being the high priest, replied Moshe. The attribute of humility is so precious that because you have this trait, you were chosen to be the high priest. And that's the dialogue. Lama tabosh, why are you so feeling like this is something wrong? Hilakach nivcharta, because of your bufsha, this is why I have chosen you. When you are trying to accomplish in spiritual matters as a leader or teacher, you might say to yourself, I realize how little I know, where am I fools, how can I possibly serve in this position? But as long as you're sincere in your efforts and aware of your deficiencies, your humility is exactly the trait that makes you fit for the job. A person with true humility will learn from others. He will ask questions when he has doubts and will be open to criticism. Never allow humility to stop you from worthy accomplishment. The attribute of humility is something positive, and that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron. Lama tabosh lekach nivcharta, because of your busha, because you're not running for the job, that's why Hashem has chosen you. And indeed, this feeling has to be something that is not just for Aaron HaKohen, but rather as a model for each and every one of us. 27. Umikana lekach lechol adam, continues the Rosh Shirim. Gamin kulanu nivcharnu liyot mamlechet kohenim. Ein larshot l'rikshut hitnasut shishlatu elenu. Although we are all chosen to be the mamlechet kohanim, we, like it's brought in 26, have to have the sense of awe and responsibility. When we're wearing the clothes, we recognize that this is our job, not to lord it over. Shiregesh ha'nava hi totza'a yeshira mi'akara b'machut shamayim ha'sholetet b'kol. You know what mamlechet kohanim means? I realize that there's a machut shamayim, and that feeling of anava is a direct consequence of knowing Hashem is in this world. When a person realizes that Hashem's glory fills the world, where do you have the audacity to ask for any type of high office? If he realizes that even the mamad bo zachai no nove mekocho ma'otim yado ma'odav kishrotav ela mechamat shemayim v'may yitgaeh, when a person realizes that whatever position they're given, whatever, you know, place they're in, this is something given to them from Hashem. So where is this gaiva? Where is this haughtiness coming from? It's obviously a direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we have to be mitamidav shel Aaron, to learn from his midos. Midos zu shel abusha va'anava. This feeling of busha, of knowing one's place, of feeling Hashem's presence in this world, is part of what makes us who we need to be in order to have the kirvas Hashem. And this, the Tif HaMoadim speaks about, is what we learn from Haman. Haman, who, you know, thinks the whole world needs to bow down to him. That if a person is given a gedula, person's given a high position. Lo yitka ebat smo chalila. Person should have any gaiva. The yomar kochi go to your diasali zol. That it's me and the strength of my hand. Raki shaber li bo bikibo. You should break your heart in you and know. It has nothing to do with you. It's a matnat chinam from shamayim. And the greater the position you have, the greater anivus you need to have. And this is what we need to understand, that we have to walk around with a sense of humility. We have to walk around with a sense of knowing our place. We have to walk around not running after these positions, but recognizing they're a gift from above and recognizing that there is no place for worthiness. But, like on the first level, there's a yin-yang. Yes, you have to remember your sin all the time, but not to the extent that it's going to paralyze you, and you have to feel the other hand that Hashem does forgive you and you can move on. Likewise, here we have this balance as well of Ratzon V'Shov. Yes, you need to have humility, but 29, Lo Tamid Anava Hinam B'Mkoma. Sometimes it's not the right place to have humility. Sometimes a person has to bedafka have the mita of gaiva in order to go in the ways of Hashem. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara pulls you down and says, oh, who am I? Who, I can't do this. Let someone else do this. And you have to be careful. Yes, there could be a certain refusal at the beginning. But if you are the most capable for it, you have to step forward and do this. And you see here that as soon as Aaron HaKohen was told, move forward, the next pasuk says, Vayikrev Aaron el HaMizbeach. He went and did the korban. He didn't continue saying, well, are you sure? I don't know. No. And this is that balance that we need. Yes, you need to have the humility. But how do you know it's real humility? When you recognize that this is why you are here, you move forward and you're able to do this. And that's the lesson we have to learn. That when the position calls for it, we have to have that what we call gaiva de kedusha. I'm able to step in, not in the sense of look how great and wonderful I am, but no, the job has to get done. I am the right person to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the right kelim, put me in the right place, and I have to do it to the best of my ability in daven for Siyata Deshmaya. On both of these levels, Rav Leibowitz, the Majesty of Man, the Chavetz Chaim Rosh Yeshiva Tzatzal, says something very powerful. He says, the Rabban goes on to relate that Aaron overcame 31 his fears and brought the offering with great zeal. Upon examination, since then it seems almost unbelievable. Aaron kept a feeling of regret for the golden calf alive within him to such an extent that it paralyzed him with fear. How then can he respond to Moshe's reminder so easily and so quickly, overcome his fears, bring his korban, even offer with enthusiasm? We can glean from this incident a remarkable insight into the emotional strength and the enormous potential of a human being. Aaron of Cohen was able to muster the fortitude to perform his duty and disregard the overwhelming fear he felt. He not only controlled his emotions, he mastered them. He could turn in a moment from feeling fear to acting with fervor when the Torah calls for it. It's a common misconception that we cannot control our emotions. The Ramban shatters this myth. We do have the power to control our feelings of fear. We must harness this power and apply the proper emotions at the appropriate time. Every human has the ability to control not only his actions, but even the emotions that motivate his deeds. The greater capabilities, the greater responsibility to realize our potential. This recognition of our true worth and ability, can help us to grow to spiritual heights previously thought unattainable. So level number one of the Ramban, the busha of the chet. Level number two of the Ramban, the busha, which is natural in terms of taking on a position. Me? Oh, I'm not deserving of this. Find someone more deserving. Moshe Rabbeinu at the snap. And this is appropriate, and it's a model for us, and there's a model for us to respond this way to all people at all times, to have this sense of l'daber b'nachat b'chole, to speak softly, to not have this haughtiness, this greatness, but to have this humility in everything that we encounter. And that's the model that we learned from Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's because of your humility. Lama tabot. It's that humility. It's because you're not ready to do the avoda, but you're so reticent. It's not like, and again, on their level, Nadav and Avihu, who take on their own initiative. But no, you're a little bit nervous. You're a little bit scared. Kilakach nifcharta. That's exactly why you were chosen. That's the quality you need. And again, when the time comes to move forward and he's told to move forward, he moves forward with passion, with fervor, with enthusiasm, and we need to be able to control ourselves and be able to know that when we need to step to the plate, that's exactly what we need to do. Now, my friends, we come to the third level. I think the third level is moving away more from Aaron Cohen, albeit it's about him, and really speaking to each and every one of us in terms of our own lives. The Birkat Mordechai Ezrachi 32, very involved in this Tzeret of Tzvila, says the following. Achaskeit Ushma, listen very closely. Malachto shel ha-satan eina mitzayemet b'ma'adito shel korbano. Adarabba, mislimato arukat vachi. You know, sometimes we think that the satan, the Yetzer Hara, just likes us to stumble. And once we've stumbled, he leaves us alone. Nuh-uh. He's not just happy with stumbling. No, it goes much longer than that. Gam l'mikre shel tshuva nefila. Mishum shegam tov kidei tshuvato shel korbano. Mamshich ha-satan lazrim elav nitvei eres shel yeus. And even after you do tshuva, the satan is there with his poison, keeping you down. And what does he say to a person who's done something wrong? He says to them, oh, I can't believe you've done that. Who are you? What do you have? U'kechol she'osif ha'korban saru b'sham ma'aseh shalom. And the more he makes a person feel how terrible it was that he did, min ha'matzav elav nikla, kach yikberu yeisho v'tchushet pik birkav. And the more a person feels bad, the more they feel like, oh, I'm so unworthy. I'm so incapable. I can't believe I did this. I'm like, who am I? I can't do anything right. And this is what the satan wants the person to feel until a person is going to get themselves into such a psychological state until they fall completely in yayush. You know what? I am a shlemizel. I can't do anything right. Let me just give up before I even try. That's when the satan is happy. That is when the satan feels like it has accomplished. And that is what the satan was trying to do here with Aaron. Asher ochiach lo la'aron 33 ba'alil ku kfari no ratzui lifnei ribono shel olam. The busha that Aaron was feeling was the Yetzer Hara telling him, you know what? You're no longer beloved by Hashem. You're no one who can be able to be working in the Avodas HaKodesh. You're a haddock. You're a finished. You're a lo yuslach. You're someone who can never have success. And this is the response of Moshe Rabbeinu. Madu atabosh harei lekach nivcharta. Don't ever think that you're a haddit, that you've lost your potential, you lost your talents. No. Sharei lekach nivcharta. Because this is why you're chosen. And if this is why you're chosen, then you have been given the capabilities and the talents to be able to do this job. There is no place for yeush. There's no place for despair. There's no place for this busha. And that's why it doesn't say ki kein siveta, because you've been commanded. No. Kilkach nivcharta. This is why you are going to be successful. And it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is turning to each and every one of us. L'kol echav echad, the asterisk in 34. Ki lekach nivcharta shelo. We each have that which we've been chosen for. And that has to give us the strength, the idud, the ability to say, you know what? I can do this. I can move forward. My friends, this idea from Mordechai Ezrachi, Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, it's very powerful for our lives. Because there are often times in our lives where we fall, we fail. I can think of in my own head, there were times that I've given shiurim that I've really fallen flat on my face. And I feel like, and the satan makes sure to tell me in my head, don't ever stand up in public again. You don't want to embarrass yourself like you've done. You're just, you know, you've had your time. You know, find something else to do. And it's a very powerful voice. And when you fall and when you make mistakes, there is a part of you that's that busha of, no, I am not showing up in front of people again. But then there has to be that other side. Ki lekach nivcharta. But this is your tafkid. This is what you're here for. The fact that you get siyata d'shmaya every week, I say to myself, and there are people who still want to listen to the shirin. Ki lekach nivcharta. You got to move forward. You can't allow that voice to get you down. You have to allow that voice to be an inspiration. It has to be turned to the positive. So you work harder. You try better. You do the best you can. You daven for siyata d'shmaya. But it can't get you down. It can't be a TKO. It has to be ability to pull yourself back together. And it's hard. And it's a battle. The Urdaniyo Rav Ochion in 35 points out, based on the Imre Emes, he says, Haba Hatalya, one is dependent on the other. If in this way the Satan was able to get a hold on Aaron, on this Busha, Old He Shiba Moked over the Tava Kodesh. This, therefore, is his strength. If this is where his weakness is, this is where his strength is. This feeling of busha is what's going to allow him to be successful in Avodas Hashem. We all know that we all have something, Pesach Rav Chaim Vital, that we're here in this world to work on. And oftentimes it's behester. We don't know what it is. But wherever the Itzahara gets at us, even more so, then we know that this is the place to work on. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him. You have busha, ki lekach nivcharta. That has to be your area that you have to overcome, you have to work on. Lekach nivcharta, that's why you were chosen. And this is what you have to l'takein. And that's why the reminder of the chait is the elevation of being able to change things. And we have to realize in 36, recognize in life that Hashem has given each and every one of us, He's given us the means to be able to do that which we need to do. Included in this, that when Hashem tailor makes each person's nisayon, He's also given us the ability to withstand these years, nisyonos. And that's why X has this type of nisayon, this type of challenge, and Y has a different one. Because each one of us is wired in a different way. And this is why he says, and this is very deep and very powerful, he says, oftentimes in life when something happens, we scream out, Ribono Shalom Lama, how could this be? And the answer is, Ki lekach nivcharta, Hashem has chosen you, Hashem has chosen your life circumstances to be one that you can be able to overcome and to come closer to Hashem. Zoi chovateinu lekabel hakol ba'ava. We have to accept everything with love and be able to realize ki lekach nivcharta. And he talks about here, let's say a person has a sick child or a Down syndrome child. Zuz chut shata nivcharta. This was you were chosen. Hashem knew that your neshama could take this special child and be able to give it the love and attention it needs in this world. Instead of saying, why me, and entering into depression, answer, ki lekach nivcharta, Hashem has chosen you. Ki zika otcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has chosen you. Ubachar b'cha liot adam shetutal avachrayot, that you have this responsibility, and Hashem is standing behind you. And this is an understanding of Sosemis on the Kapitel Tehillim Kaf that we often say in times of sorrow. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion Yisa'adecha. Hashem will send your strength, your help from the holiness and from Zion. He will support you. It says in Sosemis, it should be Yishlach Ezro Mikodesh. He'll send his help. What is Ezrecha? Your help. Hashem will send the tailor-made exact help from you, for you. That you have the help that you need of Kedusha. That you have the kochos, the ezer, the right people to get through whatever you're getting through to be able to be successful. This feeling of bosh, of busha, and kilakach nivcharta, don't you know, shrink back and say, oh my gosh, let me just give up. I can't handle this. No. Our response has to be whatever it is that happens in life. This refrain, Ki lekach nivcharta, you have been chosen. This is tailor-made for you. And as we've spoken about many times, this is Siva Shalom, beginning of Parsha Re'eh, the name of the Arizal, that no two people are alike from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, that each and every person has what they have to accomplish in this world. Re'eh natatifnechem hayom et habracha v'aklala. The bracha, the biggest bracha is when a person is able to fulfill their shlichus in this world. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person who has min lola demetet naim, the asterisk in 38, hamavim otol malei shlichuto ba'olam. The situations that are in our lives are tailor-made for us to be able to do that which we need to do in life. What I often liken it to is the person, you know, if everyone's ever been involved in a play, a drama, and acting, so you know that every person, or if going to see one, that on the stage are all the props and all the people, and your job is to say your part. Every prop that's here, the umbrella, the garbage can, the whatever it is, it's all there for a purpose. You have to know what's on your stage. Look at the props around you, and you'll know what lines you need to say. The Chol Tanayim, 39, Hachayim Shadam Natun Bahem, the type of family we have, the type of children we have, the type of struggles we have. Hakol Asui Kadesh Yudi Yachol Malet Shechut Shabavarai Yarad Olam. We don't know why we're here in this world, but we do know that whatever is put in front of us is a direct relationship to what we need to do. And that's why a person can do Torah Mitzvot and get up to the Olam Emes in Source 40, and Hashem says, you missed the boat. Because you were here to work on something specifically. And usually it's something that the Yetzer Hara works the hardest against us. And when we need Mesiras Nefesh to do it, then you know you're on the right track. So, you know, people often say, well, you know, how do I know what my shlichus is? You may never know what your shlichus is, but you do know what's in front of you right now. And whatever's in front of you right now, be able to make the best decision possible. Again, keep in mind that shlichus, our job, is not necessarily our parnasa. Oftentimes it's not. To have a child with certain needs, certain problems, have parents to take care of with certain needs, have certain, you know, communal issues that fall into your lap. Whatever comes in front of you, you know that these are the things that you need to work on, and that these are the things that are tailor-made for you. Our challenge is to be able to recognize what is it that constantly comes in our way. What is it that we're battling against? What is it that we try to avoid and it comes right back to us, like the story of Jonah? Go back to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. I'll throw you an official. Take you out. Go back to Nineveh. What are those Nineveh experiences in our life that we have to focus in on? And that is that accountability that we spoke about. Rav Orlowick, in a safer, turning ideas into action, speaks about in 41, taking responsibility for ourselves. He says, many of us prefer not to assume responsibility. We want to be free and easy, not work so hard, especially on ourselves. Yet we must know that above all, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. In the end of the day, we'll be answerable to Hashem for not having used the potential that He gave us. We don't like to think about it, but it's a reality. We are responsible. Moshe Feinstein, Shem Shmuel, both say that we'll be reproved for not having achieved the enormous potential that is within us. How do we achieve that potential? The answer is twofold. Patience and persistence. Almost everything in life requires patience, both in Torah study and in character development. Things worth doing or achieving generally take time. Indeed, the fact that the accomplishment takes time to achieve increases our appreciation of it all the more when we finally reach our goal and reap the rewards of our patience. Patience is one part of the picture. The other is persistence. We need to push on and not get discouraged, even when things are hard. One way to help us keep on working, even in the face of difficulties, is to treasure and appreciate the things we've accomplished along the way. Taking measure of what we have already done helps us to avoid despairing over the tasks that remain before us. It is especially important to nurture and appreciate small gains, because they are the most frequent. When we allow ourselves to focus on the small achievement, we come to realize that no change or accomplishment is really small, either because it is in itself important, or because an accumulation of small gain leads up to a large gain. Recognize this. We all move forward. Celebrate the small victories. Celebrate when we're able to accomplish something. That persistence, that ability to keep on going is what we need to hold on to and not try something and then give up. There's a great misunderstanding of 42 about the concept of Sirus Nefesh. People think it means force yourself to do things that are really hard and that run against our nature. This approach does not work in the long run. People burn out and sometimes have a hard time getting back on track. One aspect of Sirus Nefesh is to develop the willingness to do things that are difficult but doable, and to do them persistently and consistently. I often tell people you can walk across Russia one step at a time. As with physical exercise, it's hard to work on ourselves continually. But ultimately, the persistent and consistent work builds us up. Ongoing, doable effort will build us, not break us. And they say the same thing in psychology. Person wants to change, it can't be a 180-degree change. For sure it can't be a 360-degree change, but that's a separate story. It has to be something very small, but doable and at all times. And then when you do the doable and at all times, you're working on yourself. The more you're working on yourself, the more you realize, this is why I'm here. I'm here to work. I'm here to move forward. I'm here to be able to persist and persevere and face the difficulties and face the challenge. So if we have the first level of Lama Tabosh Kilakach Nivcharta, it was the Busha of the Cheta Ego, this is why you were chosen, to get forgiveness. On the second level, and this is our challenge, to have the sin in front of us at all times, but to realize that Hashem loves us, and to move forward. On the second level, Lama Tabosh, this is normal anivos, important to have it. It's important to know humility, not to run and get it, you know, say, I'm worthy for this job, you know, give it to me, hand it over like Hama. No, you need to have this humility. But again, when the time comes for you to move forward, Vayakrev Aaron, he moves forward. The third level, in life, we have a certain Yetzihara that tells us you are no goodness. You're Shlomizl, you're Shlomazl, nothing's going to come of you, you always fall. You can't listen to that voice. Kilakach Nivcharta. Hashem has chosen us. He's given us a job to do. We have to, sometimes we do fall. From the fall, we have to grow. We have to move forward. But we have to persistently, consistently work on ourselves. Every day, every situation that we encounter, we have to know what the right role is, what the right thing to say is. But you know what, my friends? The Sfasemis offers us an even deeper understanding of Lama Tabosh Kilakach Nivcharta. And he says that there's a level of busha, the Shemin HaTov, or Weinberger brings down, there's a level of busha that's misbayesh, that you're embarrassed for what you've done. And then there's a busha which is annihilate, it's a much higher busha. Demakir Mashiach Hol 44 in the asterisk, Lita Lod Ve No Poel, the Choshenit Romeim. The other busha is when you realize who you can be and what you could accomplish, and you don't feel like you're living up to this. A person goes through Pesach, which is coming up, and then falls and says, how come I didn't able to take the Pesach experience and live with it my whole life? What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Aaron is, Lama Tabosh, why are you feeling that there's something wrong in busha? Kilakach Nivcharta, you were chosen to teach a higher level of busha to people. That's why you should come to the Mizbeach. We know that Aaron HaKohen's way of working was that when people would see Aaron, they'd be embarrassed to sin. They would feel his presence and say, oh my gosh, I can't sin in front of him. I can't be in a fight with someone else when I know Aaron HaKohen is coming near. Lama Tabosh, why do you think busha is negative? Kilakach Nivcharta, you're here to take that higher level busha and to be able to inspire people with it. And that's the busha that we need to have in our life, to realize our greatness, to realize our potential, to realize how each and every moment of our lives we can make major changes in the world around us. And we don't always live up to this. And we don't always take responsibility. And we don't always persevere and move forward. And that's the lesson to learn from Aaron HaKohen. Kilakach Nivcharta, you're here to teach and inspire people with this busha to realize how great they are. And to then look at themselves and say, how come I'm not living up to this level of greatness? Krav al HaMizbeach, Be that model, not only for the people then, but for each and every one of us today. That when we speak about Aharon HaKohen, we speak about Dvarim Shebi Kedusha, we should say to ourselves, wow, there's so much greatness in this world. There's so much Kedusha in this world. Am I living up to my potential? Yehi Ratzon. That the inspiration that we take from learning should be able for us to answer emphatically, yes, I am. I'm working on myself step by step. I'm able to take the situations that I'm in and say, Ki lekach nivcharta, this is why I've been created. And indeed, I'm trying with tremendous amount of davening and tzigata d'shmaya, with the proper anivus, with the proper humility, to move forward step by step with the understanding of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamei, that I place Hashem in front of me at all times.